Welcome to Redemption Unveiled. Do you ever feel like something is missing from your faith? Disappointed in life? Hi, I'm Haley, and I want to help you get a clear plan so that you can show up for the adventure God made for you. Because I don't believe anyone should end up disappointed with the only life they get. But it's not just that. I know that the earth is waiting for you to show up. Redemption Unveiled. Let's do this. Welcome back to the podcast. You know, I'm Haley, and I'm so happy to have you here. Today, we have one of our favorites back on the pod. It is my mom. Welcome back, Mom.
Thank you.
I am very excited for today. I think that today is going to be a great beginning of March. I know that you get this question a lot, and a lot of people are very intrigued by our family and you and the dynamics, because obviously it looks like we're really close on social media or just from afar. But I think what people get surprised by is like when you see, when you come to dinner, you see behind the scenes, if you know what's really going on, like that's what it is. Like we're just a really strong, close family. So I think nowadays, a lot of people, obviously every mom has a heart to build a strong family. If you have one kid or if you have 20 children, your heart is like, I want my family to be strong. I want my kids to be strong. I want to raise a strong family. And so I thought it would be really cool to have you come on and just kind of talk about the adventure of creating a strong family and where you started and where you are now and kind of what this adventure looked like in your life.
Yeah, exactly. I knew I always wanted to have children. I always felt like that was definitely something I wanted very soon. Got married at 18. I would have started right away. Rob wasn't quite ready. He was 19, so he was an old man by the time we got married. And then I really thought that we would wait a year and then we would start having kids. Well, it took me about a year then to get pregnant. So we had been married about 3 years when we had our first baby. And I knew it'd be wonderful. And I knew that's what I was created to do. But I also wasn't prepared for truly the overwhelming feelings of when I had that baby. Like for me, it was the first time in my life that when I held my first baby, that I was like, this is what I've been waiting for my whole life. Like to feel such love and acceptance and just the joy of, oh my gosh, I am a mom and I can do this and I'm going to do it. And I really set out like very intentionally of like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be really good at it. And the truth is, that's just not my personality. I mean, we've talked about this before on different things that I've explained, is that I'm not real. I'm pretty much a quitter. I'm really flexible. You know, I was like, I'm not competitive. I'm like, if you want to be better at me than something, and you can be, then just go ahead. It's fine, you know? And so I think that overwhelming feeling. And so we had our oldest was Zach. He was a boy and he was a very good baby, which made me think I was a very good mother. So I can remember just really settling into it. Besides the nursing, my boobs got as big as basketballs. And that was very uncomfortable. And all of that part, you know, he was a 9-pound baby with a 15 5/8-inch head, first baby, that all my sisters had had their babies natural, that I decided I needed to do that too. So, you know, that the birth was difficult and the nursing was difficult, but I still would not have changed a thing. And that just really set me on a path of like, man, he's just this perfect baby and I'm this perfect mother and everything's so wonderful. And so very shortly after we had Zach, I was like, let's do this again, you know? So then we had our second born and she was not such an easy baby, and she was very independent. I used to laugh that she was the only baby I've ever seen that stomped when she crawled. She was the best stomper. I mean, she could stomp, and she was very strong. I thought she was very strong-willed. I don't know that she really was, and I made plenty of mistakes because I was expecting her to be like my first, who was very compliant and very easy, and she just wasn't. And it took me a while to kind of get my feet under me. I mean, because she just embarrassed me a lot of times out in public.
This perfect mother that you are.
I was like, it's so easy. You know, you just raise a perfect child. And that, though, opened up a whole door to me that I think was a God thing, but I didn't know that it would come like this. And that was, they are so different. Like, they're from the same parents, in the same environment, but they are so different. I couldn't parent them the same, but it kind of got me. I've always been a kind of studier of people, and I didn't really know how deep that went inside of me until I had two children that were just so different. And they were 20 months apart, and I really began to develop this almost, I don't know, just such an interest in personalities. And so I was like, well, this one's really cool, but then this one's really cool, but they're so different. Let's have another one, you know? And I have to say, you know, we have seven children, but I wasn't one. And everyone does it differently. You know, some people, I'm not a planner. So I didn't really set out to say, I want six children. I want them at this ages. I want a boy and a girl, then a boy and a girl. I just took one child at a time. And then we turned right back around and we had you, our third child, and we lived in Mississippi at the time. And so I had three children, three and a half, two, and a newborn, living in a state where I didn't really have any grandparents or really, you know, much support system. And, but was very much an adventure. But that was, at that point, almost pushed me over the edge. Like, I'm here. I have no help. I really didn't have many friends because we hadn't lived there very long. And just set on this adventure of having these three small children, kind of doing it on my own with all these different personalities. But I can't say. And so then I thought we might be done. So that was kind of, we stopped at three and we ended up moving back here to Missouri. And then that just kind of set us on a time of like, okay, we're going to get our life. You know, we've got these three kids. We have a boy and two girls. Everything's good. And then we just went from there.
So then you had the three. You kind of wait. Did you almost feel like there was a little bit of a, like you could get your breath back and you were kind of coming back to yourself and then you thought, let's do it again? Do you? Is that what you think?
Yes. Also, I really began to start seeing, you know, there's nothing like children to show you flaws in yourself. And I thought I had a really strong foundation and really, you know, really had myself together. But I didn't really hadn't taken the time. I began to see the cracks and flaws in my foundation and in myself. And, you know, that's one thing that's so cool about children. I mean, I could look at them and I could see how I reacted to things, or I could see how, you know, things would bother me or what people thought or this or that. And I began to be like, oh, I'm not sure I have everything together in myself. And then I also, at this point, you know, I was 28 and had been married 10 years, you know, and I kind of got off track. I got really into aerobics, you know, that was dancercise and like all those things, you know, and just looking the perfect way. We had enough money that I could spend a lot of money on clothes and, you know, a lot of money on myself. And I would say that was my selfish phase, which also brought into some other cracks that was probably, you know, very dangerous for me. So after we'd lived back here about 2 years, we kind of had to reevaluate. We went through some stuff in our marriage. I had almost had an affair, and I had to be like, okay, this is not the life that I set out. This is not the adventure I set out to have.
I made it.
And all of a sudden, you know, you can make these little small choices, and I'm sure you've talked about that. And like, one small choice doesn't seem like that big of a deal, of wearing those shorts that are a little short, or, you know, I mean, I knew at that point that I looked good. Like, you know, I'd worked really, really hard at it. It was
going to be... No denying that the dance aerobics was working.
Jazzercise worked. I mean, you know. So, you know, when that happened, I had to really step back within myself and be like, okay, I'm on an adventure, but this is a mess. And this is not who I am. This is not what I wanted. Like, I can remember just kind of waking up out of a bad dream and being like, what are you doing? Like, this is not who you are. This is your family. And I'm a person that can compartmentalize really well. And so I just thought, well, this is this over here, and this is this over here, and the two have nothing to do with each other. Well, that's just a lie that we tell ourselves to rationalize that you're not hurting anyone. You're not hurting your children. You're not hurting your husband. They don't need to know about these other pockets of my life over here. And when that all came crashing together, I had a come to Jesus moment of like where I crashed and burned. I hit rock bottom. I was very, very religious. I was also spiritual, but I was also very much a rule follower. And to know that I'd broke the rules, broke all of my rules. Like, these were my rules that I'd set for myself, that I was strong enough to handle all of it. And when that hit, I would definitely say that was a come to Jesus moment for me. I'd never really been truly, brutally honest with myself. And I really I just delved into God, and I felt like what he had told me then was sit down by your husband and shut up. Well, anybody that knows me and has talked to me on the phone or anything knows that that would be a very, very hard thing for me to do. I mean, first of all, sitting by a husband that I wasn't even sure that I liked at the time. And secondly, like, all it had always been about, you know, building my spiritual giftings and being used by God and, you know, being used in the church and your position in the church and all of these things. And that all just crumbled and it went away. And I had to really just step back, and I really took a year. And in that year, we decided that we would have another baby. But during that pregnancy, I had a lot of pain, a lot of lower pressure, and I couldn't really get around real well. So I stayed. That also kept me at home, which I think was a God thing. And I really took that time to be like, okay, I have two little girls. I have a son. I'm expecting another girl. And what mother are they going to have? And I was so much more into appearances, not just about my physical appearance, but how did I appear to the church, or how did I appear, you know, spiritually gifted, or all these things. That it was all about this rungs of a ladder that I had, you know, went up to. And, you know, ironically, the person I had almost had an affair with was a pastor. So that somehow really screwed me up of like, okay, well, that goes up some rungs because I would be with a pastor, but then I'd be divorced. So that would put me down some rungs.
Where's the God math here?
Yeah.
Where's the Bible math?
Okay, where do you stand on this God? Does this put me up or put me down? I mean, these crazy things that we don't want to admit that go on into our head. Like, but I got down and dirty with myself, and I was just like, okay, you're going to be honest. Like, you're going to be honest about the broken places that are inside of you. And when that happened, I mean, I was so honest with God, you know, and he was so honest with me. I can remember very clearly, almost audibly, he said, I love you. But
number one, let's cover this first.
And I had a hard time, you know, I was so into performance. I always had a hard time hearing that God loved me. But he was like, you are full of lust, vanity, and pride. And I was crushed. I mean, I was shocked too, because I'd worked so hard at being a good Christian girl, you know? And so when I was like, yeah, I am. So God, how do we fix this? Like, I don't want to be that person. And you've got to help me. Like, I want to be, like, I want attention. I go to Jazzercise and because I want men to look at me. You know, that's a hard thing to admit. Like, I like the attention. I like being looked at. I even like truck drivers honking at me. You know, I mean, that's how crazy we get. And so then, so me and God, boy, we just tucked in and I just began to just really dig. And everything he had shown me, I'd be like, you're right, God, I don't want that anymore. Will you take that from me? I want to be who you created me to be. Who did you create me to be? Not who am I, and then who did I add on? Because there's so many things that happen in our life. There's traumas, there's family dynamics. You know, I had two sisters that I always felt compared to. It wasn't their fault. I was just the youngest and they were ahead of me, you know, and that just happens in life. But I began to build up, like, I've got to be my own persona. I've got to find my own way. And those broken places, I mean, it's so ugly when you have to go through that. And it was so hard. It was so dark and lonely. But I wouldn't trade those moments and those times that I had with God, of just him and I. There's been two times when I felt like God was so close to me. And guess what? Neither one of those times were just the happiest moments of my life. It was when I had really screwed up and I was fighting for my marriage and my family. And then the other time was many years after that, when we pretty much lost everything financially and had to start over. So I can remember in those times of God just being so near me. Like, even when I slept, I would wake up and be praying of like, God, help me. God, help me. And he'd be like, I'm here. I'm here. We're going to get through this, you know? And that, when you get through it, I mean, like I said, it's not fun going through it, but when you can get through to the other side and you see, like, man, that was really painful, but what purpose came out of that was so beautiful. I mean, I understand now the beauty for ashes. You know, that there's such at times of our lives that are so ashy. I mean, they're just like ashes everywhere. And, you know, and then when you sweep them all away and you begin to see what God is building, I can just remember feeling like, okay, I feel kind of dead inside. But I just, every day, I got up and I did what I was supposed to do, even if I felt like it or didn't feel like it. And slowly but surely, I began to find myself and God began to show me. And really, it all culminated when Ivy was born. It was kind of like, okay, here's your new start, your new reward. Like, there is no greater gift to me than a baby. Like, those are just such precious times that when you have your baby. And I can remember she's my smallest baby. She's still my smallest child too. You know, she's tiny and petite, but she was a tiny little baby. And I can remember setting up and just me and God and her, you know. And I think now how, like, she's really deep and sensitive. And I'm like, I think all of that was put inside of her during that time that I was going through. You know, sometimes I'm like, wow, lighten up, Ivy, you know. But that was an intense, I mean, she was born in a very, one of the most intense times of my life. And so, you know, I just felt like when it talks in the Bible about the refiner's fire, I let myself go into the fire. And you have to do it willingly. God won't force us in there. And if you just really think about how hard that is, like, to say, yeah, I'm going to step into a fire. There is nothing worse that I hate than being burned. Like, I cook a lot. And I get burnt all the time. But nothing hurts as bad as being burnt. So to have this huge fire, I'd always think of it as like a kill or like a when you get cremated, like God saying, just go ahead and step in there. Like, step in there, let me burn you up. And I was like, this doesn't seem very fun, you know. But I trusted him on that level, and I did. And what was really cool, I can remember specific, like, visions in my head of moments that I would feel joy or contentment or happiness. And God saying, yeah, like you died, you were burnt out, but now this is a diamond, or this is an emerald, and you can have that back. Like, I'm giving it to you. You're trustworthy to have that now. Mm-hmm. And that is such a beautiful, precious time to me. And so he began to, you know, and I can remember one of the last things that I got back after it had been refined was, you can have your personality. You know, it's like, this is who you are. Mm-hmm. You, everything in that personality was not bad, but we did need some refining, you know, and you can be yourself again, but now it's much purer than mm-hmm. it was before. And I began to be really confident in knowing who I was, who I wasn't, what I was good at, what I wasn't good at. I fell in love with truth. And in all honesty, if I had to be completely honest, I don't think I've said this too many times, I was kind of a liar up to that. I mean, like, if it made me look better, I would lie about it, you know, because that was just seemed easier than, and sometimes it wasn't even, you know, I can remember something dumb. It was like, I had this little ring that my parents had given me, and I had told someone that we were sitting at a ball game or something, and I told him that Rob had given it to me. And Rhonda was sitting there, and she was like, that's my sister. And she was like, he didn't give that to you. Mom and Dad gave that to you. You know what I mean? Just lying, or I wanted our relationship to look good. I mean, they weren't big, horrible lies. But from that point on, I began to embrace truth, the power of truth. Now, that's an adventure. I wasn't completely refined. So, you know, and honestly, I always had been a pretty outspoken person. I love to give truth to everybody else. I just didn't want to be truthful with myself, you know, about myself. And so that was part of my personality was, okay, let's just be honest here about your faults. And where now it was like, let me be honest about my faults. And that really changed everything. Like, if you can embrace, not just be like, well, truth is nice, but embrace the truth about yourself. So when truth comes into your life, and I'm not talking about everybody else's truth, I'm talking about your own truth. Like, I really began to embrace that of like, okay, what is my motive there? Like, even when you go through the refiner's fire, guess what? There's still some flesh left, you know, a few little pieces that, you know. And so I began to really embrace my family. I've always liked to cook, but I realized, you know, I liked having people in my home. We had a home church. We had, you know, I liked to have extra kids in our home. And I really loved to cook. I mean, why? How is that godly? I don't know, but it brought me joy. Like, things that I was so caught up in the outward that I never took the time to learn what at home really made me happy. And cooking was one of them. And so then we decided after Ivy, where I was like, well, I don't want her just to be one child 5 years younger than all her siblings. So we decided to have one more baby. And this is what, especially if you're a more laid back person, you know, Chloe always talks about how she wants to have lots and lots of kids. And I always just tell her, take them one at a time, because you don't know where you'll be. You don't know how hard it is until you, like, I didn't know how, I was handling two children really fine, but I didn't know how hard it'd be to add that third, you know, that there's not enough arms anymore. And so I just took them as what I felt like at the time God put that, each time he put that desire in my heart, I'd be like, so I'd talk to Rob and he'd like, yeah, like, let's try for a boy. You know, so we had a boy and three girls. And so I can remember bending over this, one of our spare bathrooms in the bathtub and saying, and God thinking, I really heard his voice saying, your last biological child will be a boy. And I was like, well, there you go. This is it. Because everybody that I talk to is already freaked out that I've had five children. And I'm, you know, I've had four children. I'm pregnant again. I mean, the comments you get, you know, and you start feeling this peer pressure of like, wow, they think I'm some kind of a freak, you know. And so I was like, yeah, we'll have five. Five is a good number. It's a big family. It's, you know, and this one's going to be a boy because God's promised me that, because my last child, biological child, will be a boy. So found out that she was a girl on the ultrasound. And I can remember, I think I would have been fine, but I brought all the kids to the ultrasound and I couldn't look up when they said it was a girl. And Zach was standing over me and he had tears going down his cheeks. And I was like, oh, you know, because he's my firstborn, you know, and he's a boy and he was taking this really hard. And I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I just felt like I disappointed everybody. I disappointed my husband. I mean, obviously, you know, deep down, and you know, you're going to love this child, you know. And I kind of held it together till we got to, Rob took me to the Sonic, and the kids had come. I don't know if the grandparents had brought him, but we were just by ourselves. And I kind of had a little moment. And then I was so embarrassed because I knew it wouldn't make any difference. I was so embarrassed that I cried about the sex of my baby. I was told I had a healthy, beautiful baby. And, you know, those times, like, I let myself feel that. But then I looked at Rob and I said, I swear I will kill you if you ever tell a soul that I cried so shallowly over the sex of my baby. Like, you know, and that embarrassed me because that's not who I am. Like, I knew I would love this child and they would, they had a very specific point. And so we had Chloe and, you know, that was great. And I really felt like that wasn't an accident. Like, I felt like God had really begun to speak in my heart that I was supposed to raise strong women for his kingdom, that it was such a time as this, and that it wasn't by accident that I had four girls, and, you know, I had been trustworthy in getting my crap together in my life so I could raise strong girls. And then and so we were done. And it's so funny because I had this woman from our church come to our door, and we weren't really even close friends, but I had began to have dreams about this baby I'd left. We were always either in an airport or a bus stop, and these strangers would bring me this baby and say, you left your baby behind. And I'd be like, no, this isn't my baby. I can't take it. And they would just put it in my arms and then run off. And I would have this reoccurring dream. I'd be like, this isn't my baby. What am I supposed to do with this baby? Well, I had this girl show up at my door and she said, this may seem a little weird, but I feel like God just wants to have me ask you why you would let, that you've never really let people, other people's opinions decide what you were going to do in your life. And he wants to know why you would leave one of your children behind because you think people think you've had enough babies. And that was like, okay, that's really freaky. And I was like, well, that's a good question, you know. So what was really cool was Rob and I began to talk about it. And he was like, you know, I think we should have another one. I think we should try one more time for a boy because we know if it's a girl, we're going to love them anyway. And I was like, I think we should too. What was really funny about that, though, is 3 days later, I found out I was already pregnant.
Wow.
But I felt like that was a really nice gift that God gave me and Sawyer, that we had planned to have that baby, but it was already done, you know? And I hadn't really had a surprise pregnancy. You know, all of our kids, we set out to say, you know, it didn't take me, after the first one, it didn't take me long to get pregnant, but we had all always said, okay, let's try to have a baby. So that was really, and lo and behold, you know, it was a boy. And so we had our six beautiful children, bookend boys with four girls in between. And it was such an adventure. You know, I don't think I could have handled the six, having six children, if I hadn't gotten healthy, if I hadn't dealt with all the broken places inside of me, because the pressure would have probably just shown up more cracks and more. But because I had done all that work and we had a 5-year break, honestly, the second three were much easier. Like you girls and Zach, the older kids helped so much with the younger ones. And then when Sawyer was 7 was when we brought Haven home. So we ended up with 5 girls and 2 boys.
Yeah. So I feel like the cool thing about kind of the layout of the story is, like, number one, I think it's really interesting because some adventures are, we know the goal in the beginning.
Right.
Like, for my situation with my family, because of what we came from, I wanted, like, we went into our marriage with me saying, I want at least 5 kids and I want to adopt. Like, there was a goal. And some adventures, like some of our things that we do with God, actually start with the end in mind. Like, there's a promise, right, or a plan, at least, that we believe we're supposed to seek, you know? And then there's the other adventures that we take where, like you said, it really is kind of an unfolding step by step leading you, like, with, as you walk with God, it takes you and you create something beautiful that you didn't seek to create.
Right.
And I think the other thing that's really cool about your story now, I mean, 20 plus years later, from 30 years later, like 30 years ago, you went on a journey with God. And I just know without a doubt that if you would have not done that, whether you would have had more kids or not, whether you would have been, like, whether you would have stayed with Dad or not, we would not be who we are.
Right.
Because it's obvious for me to see that the reason our family is what it is because of that season in your life where you did your own transformation. And I'm always trying to encourage moms, or, like, when I teach on motherhood, that, like, one of the best things we could do as moms for our kids is to find healing ourselves, because we cannot teach our daughters how to love themselves if they don't love themselves. If,
right,
if I don't love myself, I can't teach my daughter,
right,
self-confidence. If I haven't found healing with God, I can't teach my daughter how to find freedom with God. Like, these are things that I think that too many people believe that words are enough. And there's something in life as you grow up that you can tell if something's real or not.
Right.
And so when we grew up, as we got older, and I can remember you talking to me about, you know, different things in your life that you went through, you know, with God or with whatever. And just, it's like you showed me how to do certain things, not because you were teaching me things from the Bible, but because you were teaching me from your own adventure of your own transformation when God got, you know, in those dark places and in those valleys of life. You have something to give your children because,
right,
it's yours to give.
Being authentic is so much more life-giving, you know, and I left behind, you know, really worrying about what people thought about me, because I was really just confident in knowing who I was. And if you don't like that person, then you weren't my person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because I know who I am.
Yeah.
And I know I've got some really good things to give. And I've got some other things that certain personalities don't really care for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, but you have to get really confident before you have to be really secure in knowing, okay, this is who God created me to be, and He's good with me.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not, like, even if they're not.
Yeah.
So it's a true journey.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you, Mom. Like I always say, every adventure, you've got to have the action, the plan. You've got to have problems, and you ultimately have to transform. And I would say that you building your family was definitely and is definitely an adventure.
I always say that all you guys are definitely my best life's work.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for it, Mom. I really appreciate it. Okay, we'll see you guys back here next week. Bye. Thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, would you mind leaving a review? That would be amazing. And also, if you'd like to connect on social media, I'm Redemption Unveiled everywhere, or Haley Marie Carter on Instagram. I would love to connect with you. I will see you back here next Wednesday for a new podcast episode. And remember that the earth is waiting for you to show up. Have a great day.